ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
Doing good. Enjoying spring training baseball for right now. And just trying to enjoy the lull of lack of news and kind of the slow pace of the off season. Schedule reveal was a good thing to get, and we got some good information about the practice facility and that kind of thing. And we have a defensive coordinator now, so it hasn't all been quiet. We've had some news we'll talk about, but I don't know if enjoying the off season. You know, I would like us to play football 365 days a year. That's not realistic. Anyway, Brooks, how are you doing?
I'm doing good too. Yeah, you know, for you know, it's the off season. You're going to have your ups and downs of news cycles, but it's been a little while since we last recorded. But there's actually been a decent amount of news come out of Jack State football program. Like you said, we finally hired a defensive coordinator, Brian Williams. We'll get into that here in just a minute. After Vinny Sinceri left for a co DC job at Florida. He to lose them, but I am excited about Brian Williams. We did get renderings of the new practice facility. It is going to be football specific. It's not going to be going to have our own weight room, or the football team's going to have their own weight room, completely indoor practice field. It's supposed to look really, really nice. And I think there's going to be some extra benefits for tailgaters, or more tailgating spots, or RV spots. I mean, excuse me. And on top of baseball's off to a hot start. Basketball's first place in the Conference USA. As of the time we're recording this, tomorrow, big game against Liberty in Lynchburg. So we'll definitely keep our eyes peeled on that. So a lot happening, as a matter of fact, in Jacksonville, Alabama.
I agree. You know, quiet as far as team news and roster news. You know, you don't get a lot of that, you know, if you're in between portal cycles and before, you know, fall camp opens up. But you know, still some stuff going on to talk about. And like I said, it's been a while since we recorded. No guests today. We may have some more guests, obviously, before the season starts. But just me and Brooks for today with you guys. But we'll start with Brian Williams, hired as the defensive coordinator, like Brooks said, after Vinny Sinceri left for Florida. And I'm not sure you can call it an upgrade, but it's real close if it's not from what Vinny Sinceri is going to do. You know, Vinny Sinceri is more of an unknown because he hasn't been the lead defensive coordinator at a school at all, really. He was a DB coach at Washington, and he was a defensive analyst for Bill Belichick for a while with the Patriots. But I know everyone was really excited about him. Brian Williams has been the defensive coordinator at Maryland since 2022, and if you kind of look at some of the defensive numbers, his defenses are usually a little better against the run and not as good against the pass. But I'm not sure if it's super fair to look at his defensive numbers in the Big Ten or even overall and kind of draw comparisons, because, you know, Maryland is 13 out of 14 in the Big Ten as far as difficult to recruit. I mean, they are right down there with Rutgers. They're the bottom of the barrel. You know, if you're SEC fans, I mean, it's like if you looked at defensive coordinator numbers at Vanderbilt, they're not going to look good no matter who it is. It's hard to recruit there. So I don't think those numbers are really fair to look at to draw a comparison for Brian Williams, try to figure out what kind of defense we're going to have. He was on the staff under Charles Kelly at Florida State in 2013. So there's certainly some familiarization there with Coach Kelly that probably helped Brian Williams get the job. But I think the part of this that the fan base should really look at is you hired a Power 4 defensive coordinator to the same job. It was not a job upgrade for Brian Williams. Yes, he was listed as the defensive coordinator and the defensive line coach, but he was calling the plays for Maryland, and I don't think you can, you know, take that any other way. Is the Jack State was able to hire a Power Four coach away from a school and give him the same job. There was no job upgrade, no title upgrade. I don't know how the money structure, how that works. We're not going to get into that, but I think it's a really good thing for the university to be able to hire a guy like that from a Power Four school. And I think that's it's a really good thing for Jack State.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the hire. We kind of talked about it a little bit in our interview with Jordan a few weeks ago about who we might go after, or if we're making an outside hire, or if we were going to promote somebody in house, whether it's Deshaun Davis or Xavier Garcia or Burt Biffany or whoever it might be. I know you guys thought that was the most likely choice or most likely option. So it was a little surprising. I don't know that, he was a name that a lot of people had on the radar. Certainly not for our defensive coordinator position. But something that does make me feel comfortable about him is, he's coached at Maryland. He was a defensive coordinator at Maryland for 3 years, about 4 or 5 years now, or has been on a Maryland defense for about 4 or 5 years now, and he has that little bit higher caliber, coaching experience. Power Four coaching experience, and yes, it is hard. It's like Maryland's one of those programs. It's kind of like Vanderbilt or, a Kentucky or somebody who they may have a good year here and there, but it's just they're not a football first program. They're certainly a basketball oriented program. It's just hard to win there. Doesn't matter the year, but something that does make me feel comfortable about him is, he was the linebackers coach at UAB when Bill Clark was restarting that program after they got shut down, and then having to completely restart that program literally from the ground up. And in that first year back in Conference USA, had an 11 win season and won the conference championship. So it makes me feel comfortable knowing that he has that experience at our level. He knows the expectation level. He knows the area. He was at UAB for 3 years during that span. So he knows, the expectation level of the conference. He knows the area pretty well. I mean, we're only an hour and a half from Birmingham. So he knows the area pretty well. I'm sure he's recruited all over the state. The expectation level for Jack State and, what we're looking for, what we're looking to get out of him, I think, he's more than prepared for, more than familiar with. And I think that's a very bright point, at least to me, with Coach Williams.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you alluded to, and, we talked about looking at where his defense ranks, throughout the country in the Big Ten, is not going to be very fair to him because he's not at a football first school. He is now. Absolutely, Jack State is a football first school without a doubt. I know the basketball team's having great success, and that's good. But this will be a football first school till we stop doing this podcast. So I think his experience level is certainly something to be really excited about. He does bring obviously more experience in coach than Siri was going to bring. But you really like you said, he was at UAB under Bill Clark and helped them rebuild that program. And he was under Coach Kelly at Florida State. He's going to be a guy who can come in and without having any issues, the culture is not going to change from what Coach Kelly wants. I know, the culture is, brand new, but he's a guy who's not going to have any, Coach Clay would not have hired him if he didn't like him. He's worked with him in the past, and I think that's a big check mark in the box. And everyone's got to remember you know, this is going to be Coach Kelly's defense no matter what. You know, Coach Kelly's a defensive guy. He was defensive coordinator at Florida State when they won their national championship. So it's going to be Coach Kelly's defense, and it's Coach Kelly's hired guy that he clearly trusts to help him out. And I think that's going to go a long way. Like you said, I was very surprised it was not an in-house hire. Just from how late in the off season, you say late in the off season, but nowadays this is late in the off season. How late in the offseason that Coach Sinceri left, I thought there wouldn't be much of a choice for Jack State than to hire in-house, quite honestly. But they went another direction and did a really good thing. So, like you said, Deshaun Davis and you know, Xavier Garcia and those guys were available. I'm sure that they submitted their applications for the job. But, you know, Jack State went above and beyond. And this is – I don't want to say this is the highlight of the offseason so far because we did great, you know, great things in the portal and good things recruiting, and we hired a we think is going to be a good head coach. But from a kind of a shock perspective, this might be the shock of the offseason. You know, this late getting a Power Four guy to come basically to the same job that he was doing at Maryland is huge. So really excited about it. We'll certainly see how the defense goes. You know, last year the defense struggled through the first three or four or five games under Coach Olsen. He's at Louisiana Tech now. So we'll kind of see how the defense stacks up to what we were able to do last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's one thing, you mentioned it does kind of stink because it is a, you know, Vinny Sinceri came in, was here for a week and then dipped out to go to the, to take the Florida job. And again, you know, not blaming him. I don't blame him at all for going and taking the job. More money, more resources, bigger program, you know, all that. But I did think it was good. You know, Sinceri left 2 weeks ago and we made this hire 2 weeks before Kelly Williams came in, and we made this hire about last week. So it was a fairly quick turnaround. You know, and I don't think, and it's what Williams and Coach Kelly are familiar with each other. You know, they've coached together for years and years. You know, like you said, I think he's going to be able, he knows the conference, he knows the state, he knows the expectation level. I think he's going to be able to pick up, I think he's going to be able to pick everything up pretty quick. Get out on the recruiting trail, work the transfer portal. After spring comes, I don't know if losing a step would be the right thing to say, but I think it's going to be all right. I don't think we've backtracked, I guess. I think we're in a pretty good spot with when we've hired them and, how that's all going to work out. Like I said, they're familiar with each other. They know their expectation level for each other and, like you said, this is going to be Kelly's defense. He's going to be running this thing. It's going to be more of a, kind of like what we see with, at Georgia with Kirby Smart being the defensive guy. And then you've got Glenn Schumann and years past, Will Muschamp and guys like that on the side, or Dan Lanning. But at the end of the day, it's the head ball coach's, defense.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly don't think they lost a step at all. I think that between, Luke Olsen, Vinny Sinceri, and Brian Williams is the most proven of those three guys. I know that there was a lot of excitement around Coach Sinceri and what he was able to do. And a lot of that came from pedigree. A lot of people our age and older watched him, Vinny Sinceri, play safety at Alabama and were really impressed. He was a really smart player at Alabama. His dad was a defensive coach at Alabama. So a lot of people were excited just from the pedigree of Coach Sinceri. But as far as experience level and where Coach Kelly is comfortable and getting a guy that you can plug in and not have to, miss a step in practice and explain stuff to, I think this was a 10 out of 10 hire. So we'll, like we said, see how the defense goes and that kind of thing. Real quick next, not a lot to talk about here, but it's certainly worth mentioning. Clay Webb invited to the draft combine. You guys always saw that on Twitter. We reposted it in the university football page, posted it first, I think. But Clay Webb, not a surprise. He went to the combine. We kind of knew that already, but it did get officially announced a week or so ago. So congrats to him. We'll, you know, obviously, much, you know, wish him the best of luck and hopefully gets drafted as you know, number one would be great, but we'll see. Don't forget about our contest we've got going on with his draft position. We'll repost all that stuff a couple of days before the draft and kind of refresh everybody's memory. But one player that did not get invited that surprised me a lot. Maybe I'm out of the loop as to what the combine is and how many players get to go. But I mean, Trey Stewart not getting invited to the combine was strange to me. Brooks, you can kind of give us your thoughts. But I thought if there was a player that Jack State's got besides Clay Webb that could go the next level and make a difference, especially as cheap as running backs are becoming NFL and teams love to you know, draft running backs in the sixth or seventh round, get their 5 years out of them. And I thought Trey Stewart would fit that bill perfectly for somebody, but not that it still can't happen, but it's just weird that he didn't get out of the combine. Brooks, you can kind of give your thoughts on that.
Real quick, for those of you who want to watch Clay Webb work out, he's going to work out on Sunday at noon on NFL Network. Those of you who want to watch Clay Webb. But yeah, no, whether he gets drafted or not, you know, he may be he has the potential. He's good enough to be drafted at, you know, at least, you know, seventh, eighth round. But, you know, I think that I think it's interesting. Like you said, it's certainly a snub that he didn't even get a combine invite, you know, just to go, you know, just to go work out. You know, I know, you know, get his face in front of some of these scouts, which a lot of them have, you know, been coming to our games and been going to away games to, you know, I'm sure the bowl game to watch him and are pretty familiar with him. But, you know, I would think Clay Webb and Trey Stewart were 100% our two best players for this season. And I think more than capable of, you know, getting a good chance to play in the NFL. Obviously, it's turned out good for Clay Webb. He had a great Senior Bowl in Mobile, and that, you know, that along with his last few years at Jack State has warranted him a combine invite. And you know, I know Trey Stewart was only here the 1 year, but absolutely blew it out of the water. And maybe too, it's because you know, he had the regular season that he did and had a really good Conference USA championship game, but then, you know, Ohio did a really good job of shutting him down in the bowl game, and then I don't think he got a whole lot of playing time in the East West Shrine Bowl. Wasn't that what it was? The Shrine Bowl. I don't know. I really thought he would have. He would at least, like you said, about NFL running backs, you know, running backs, these franchises like to get them for cheap. You can't have too many running backs in the NFL for as injury prone as they are. And, you know, as complicated, I guess is the word to use as their contracts are structured, because they are, you know, you could get a really good, you know, first, second round running back, and he only lasts, you know, 2-3 years max in the NFL. You look at guys like Sony Michel, Trent Richardson. You know, the list goes on and on. So, you know, I did think it was absolutely a snub. This doesn't completely rule out him getting a chance to play in the NFL. I don't think Saran Neal worked out in the combine a few years ago when he got drafted by the Bills and he went in the fifth round. Not to my knowledge, he did anyways. And two, Jack State will still have its pro day, so he'll get a chance to work out along with others, you know, Tyler Huff and some others. They'll have their pro day on campus and have a chance to show out in front of some scouts. So all hope is not lost for Trey Stewart, but yeah, I definitely think it was interesting. He didn't even get an invite, but
yeah, certainly not. We still, like you said, certainly expect him to be you know, an undrafted free agent in camp. I still expect him to, you know, get looks at getting drafted. You're not going to say it's a foregone conclusion that he will, but I would just really be surprised if he doesn't go off the board somewhere in the late rounds as dominant as he was last year. I know that Ohio did put some tape down for him because they did do a good job of balling him up and that kind of thing, but we'll just see. I was disappointed that he didn't get invited. Certainly wish the best for Clay Webb. Like you said, Sunday, you guys can tune in and see that. But anyway, we'll kind of move on to, I guess, what's going to be our last segment. I know we're going to talk about the practice facility for a minute at the very end, but the biggest news was the schedule release so far after Brian Williams' hire. So, Brooks, I know you got the schedule pulled up over there. We'll kind of go through it game by game. We might give you guys a quick, win or loss, way too early prediction for what it's going to look like as we go, which will be fun. I know we start out. Was it August 28th on the road in Central Florida? So, Brooks, we can kind of start there, and we'll get on the list.
Yeah, like you said, August 28th is a Thursday game at Central Florida. I expect that game to be on national television, whether it's on ESPNU or ESPN2, whatever it may be. But I do expect that game to be on national television. We'll go down and face Gus Malzahn's squad. No, we won't. We'll be facing Scott Frost's squad. I forgot about that. This will be his first game back at Central Florida since leaving to take the Nebraska job, where he was an utter disappointment. I won't say a disaster necessarily, because they had a lot of really close games. The ball just didn't fall their way, but a huge disappointment during his time with the Huskers. So there's going to be a lot of excitement surrounding that. I'll be honest, I don't know that I haven't done a whole lot of research on the Knights, but I know they won't have KJ Jefferson back after his 8 years of playing college football. There'll be a lot of excitement because he was the one. Again, there'll be a lot of excitement around that game because he was the one that took them to a national championship. I'm still salty about that. But undefeated season in 2017, beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl. And nonetheless, absolutely phenomenal season, and really kind of set the. Set the foundation for where Central Florida is right now. I know they've had good teams before them, but he had that really good season, and then Josh Heupel came in, took over, led them to a Fiesta Bowl, almost beat LSU. So it'll be but I think for Central Florida last year was very, very mediocre. I think they're liable to be the same kind of caliber as they were last year. We'll have to see. This is a way, way too early schedule prediction. We'll kind of have to see after the spring game, get a feel for who's going to be the quarterback, what the defensive backs are going to look like, how everybody syncs together. But at the very least, that could be a fun trip down to Orlando very early in the year. Go to the bounce.
Absolutely. This would be. They've got unfinished business in Orlando. Got beat by 3 in the Cure Bowl, so they want to go down there and win Orlando. And I think this is a team that they can be competitive with. They won 4 games last year. I know Gus Malzahn's out, and Scott Frost is in. He's already picked up a DUI since getting back down to Orlando, so he's picking up just real, real hot down there so far. But I can't imagine that Scott Frost, like you said, it may be a disaster at Nebraska for what his time there was, just because they did just seems like they couldn't win a 1-score game. But I can't imagine he's going to build that program, by game one of this coming year to what he had when they were, going undefeated and claiming national championships. So they certainly won't be as good as Louisville, who Jack State played last year, and they played Louisville when they didn't had the team figured out yet. You know, we didn't have an answer at quarterback. We didn't have an answer on defense. And, you know, they got beat by several touchdowns. So not going to see her predict a win, but I'm certainly going to predict that they should play with UCF. They should not be down more than 14 points in the fourth quarter. I think if they get beat by 21 or 28, I think you kind of call that a failure at this point. You know, we can learn a lot in camp. You know, Central Florida can still, you know, get a bunch of portal additions that really accelerate the rebuilding process down there. And then this, you know, this statement sounds really dumb, but as it sits right now, I would certainly expect Jack State down there and compete for a win. And then after that is my least favorite game that Jack State has had on the schedule in maybe ever. And that is, I know it's at home. That's a huge help. Don't get me wrong. At home is a huge help. But, man, Liberty Week 2 is not how I like to do my conference games. You know, that could be very well be that their biggest, you know, conference game of the year. And you're getting it at Week 2. And, you know, we're still going to be figuring stuff out offensively and defensively. So is Liberty. You know, they're not, you know, have a head start or anything, but I really do like the, you know, last year it made such a big difference, right? Playing those four out of conference games before the conference schedule started. And that's how long it took Jack State to figure out their groove. And you saw them just roll through Conference USA play. They're not going to get that benefit this year. If they start slow like they did last year, they're going to get beat by Liberty at home. So I don't like where the game's scheduled, but that's kind of the world we live in now.
Yeah, no, I don't like the spot either. I wish we were playing. I wish we swapped that game, with Murray State. Just swap home games, play Murray that second weekend, and then wait to play Liberty. You know, we saw how last season went, and it took us, you know, brand new defensive coordinator, completely different defensive backfield, and even the offense, new running back, new quarterback. It was just a completely different team than what we had the year before when we won the New Orleans Bowl. And it took us real. I mean, we kind of put it together against Eastern Michigan on the road, but still got it. Ultimately, it took us about four games to you know, really mold together and figure out who we were, and you know, to come out, you know. The Central Florida game will be what it is. I'm like you. I fully expect us to go out and at least compete. Anything less than a two touchdown game, I think that's absolutely going to be very disappointing, given the state that Central Florida is in. But either way, likely coming off a loss in Orlando and having to come back home. It does help that it's a home game, and it helps too that the Central Florida games being played on Thursday. So we'll have those two extra days, two extra days to get ready for this game. So we've got a little bit of an advantage there. But Liberty with no Caden Salter is going to be different too. They're going to be figuring out their identity. So we're going to have a lot of the same problems. Like I said, I listed off the advantages, but I just, the way that Liberty can spend money, they're going to go get a halfway decent quarterback. I can assure you, and probably a pretty good running back too to replace Quentin Cooley. So I like you said, I don't like this spot. It's going to be, I don't know that I would call it a trap game, but it's just like I said, I would much rather have the Murray State game in that September 6th spot than Liberty. You know, no offense to Murray State, Jody Wright. We know he's, you know, he's building from the ground up in a extremely tough football conference too. But I would much rather have that week against the Racers to try and figure out take that time and figure out who we are and, you know, get used to playing together a little bit more concisely. And get our identity set, rather than Liberty, because they're going to come out swinging and they're going to be out for blood. They're absolutely going to be out for blood after the game in Lynchburg last year.
Yeah, you know, that's it's the world we live in now. You know, the conference is going to schedule games like this to help TV money, and this game will be on television, probably on national television in some capacity. So, you know, CBS Sports Network or FS1 or something to that effect. So that's part of the reason it's scheduled that way, and that'll help the conference to drum up some media for the conference play when, you know, the SEC is not playing conference games that early. It's not a mini conference games that early. So that'll be a semi-big game for the group of five, probably the biggest group of five game that weekend, if I had to guess, unless there's a big out-of-conference game like James Madison and you know, whoever else. But, you know, that's why it's scheduled that way. Kind of sucks that we're on the – or in the position that we are in as far as new coach and complete turnaround in the program with players jumping to – in the portal and, you know, quarterback and running back graduate and that kind of thing. But we'll learn as much as we can in Orlando against Central Florida and put our best foot forward there against Liberty. After that, Brooks, you have to remind me if there's a bye week or not in here before we get to Georgia Southern, but I believe they're next.
There's not. We go three games in a row. Oh, we played five games in a row.
Yeah.
Before an off week.
Yeah, so tough schedule to start, but Georgia Southern is going to be real similar to at least a talent level of play to what we saw against Coastal last year. You know, they were a 6 or 7 win team. They played Sam Houston in the New Orleans Bowl last year and got beat. So certainly a team Jack State can play with and beat for sure. We get them in Statesboro on the road. So that'll be a fun trip for us all to take. I'm sure there'll be a lot of red in the crowd that day. I know me and Brooks have plans to drive down there and see what is supposed to be a really pretty stadium for a small school. I know that it's you know, well known as one of the nicer small stadiums in the country, so I'll be happy to go see it for the first time. But Georgia Southern's going to be tough. You know, they were in probably the best group of five conference last year in the Sun Belt, and they were able to get themselves to bowl eligibility and that kind of thing. I know we've got some familiarity with their coaching staff, having taken away their tight ends coach, so that'll be probably a big help for JSU to be able to get some pointers on what they like to do from a guy who spent some time there. So I think that'll help out also. But three pretty tough games to start the year, and then they get, you know, Southern Miss and Murray State. So, Burks, I don't know if you have any thoughts on Georgia Southern, but for me, that's still, you know, back-to-back-to-back games to start the year they're going to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like you said, I think that'll be a really fun trip. It's only about an hour from Savannah. Go down early on Friday and go to make a day trip in Savannah. But I've heard Statesboro is really pretty. That stadium's really cool. It's not too bad a drive from Jacksonville. But football wise, yeah, no, they're, like you said, they play in a pretty, you know, probably the best group of five conference. I don't really care about the American last year, but and, you know, losses against their only conference losses came against Old Dominion. They got dominated by Old Dominion and a close loss at home against Troy, who turned out to be very good, I don't think. But they played a really close game at the start of the year, put up a lot of points on Boise State, who ended up making the playoff. In Statesboro, lost 45-56. You can imagine Ashton Gentry attributed a lot to that. And then again, lost a, you know, like you said, lost a really close game in the New Orleans Bowl to Georgia Southern. I can see this being a similar matchup to what we had against Coastal Carolina last year. No, traditionally they're, you know, a very run heavy offense. You know, Clay Helton's come in and kind of swapped some stuff up than what they're normally. I know, obviously, they don't run the triple option like they used to anymore. But this is a, you know, like you said, we've got a little bit of familiarity with taking one of their coaches and putting them on our staff this year. It's just the grind of college football and what it is now, having to play. You know, there are no off weeks and. Or no easy weeks for the most part anymore. And know, having to go Central Florida, Liberty, Georgia Southern back to back to back, two of them on the road. I mean, it's a brutal start to the schedule, but I mean, it is what it is. It's a good opportunity to get a good win on a resume. And, like I said, it'll be a fun trip, and I think it'll be a close competitive game. I think by then we should have a pretty good, feel for, you know, how we play together, what, you know, and know what kind of what to expect from this team at this point in the year. So the expectation level is going to be a little bit higher, at least from a fan's perspective, and certainly from the coaches, too. So I think that game's going to really tell us a lot about our team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe, if guys in the comments can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Asagenti scored 6 times against Georgia Southern. In that game, that was a really high scoring and really fast pace. But yeah, it's like you said, it's the grind of college football. You've got 3 tough ones to start the year, and you know, Southern Miss is no slouch either. We'll get to them in a minute. I know we do get the breath against Murray State, so that's good. But if you take a look at Southern Miss, you know, yeah, we beat them by 40 points last year, and they were the easiest game on the schedule without a doubt. But they are essentially – they have half of Marshall's roster, more or less. They hired Marshall's coach because, for whatever reason, Marshall didn't want to pay Coach Huff his money he was deserved, as he won the Sun Belt last year, or the American last year, I should say. But, you know, I don't necessarily understand why Marshall didn't want to pay Coach Huff, but it's going to come back and hurt Jack State, because they're going to get a completely revitalized Southern Miss team that's got a lot of players from Marshall last year. It's got a coach who knows how to win football games, and they're going to be much tougher competition than what they were last year.
Yeah, and just real quick, I know we kind of, you kind of skipped over Murray there, but and for good reason. That I expect that game to be a little bit of a splattering. Just because I think we're light years ahead of where Murray's at. And that's no disrespect to what Jody Wright's building over. And by the way, that'll be quite the homecoming, because if you pretty much every important role, or every important coaching or big main important coaching position that was at Jack State from about 2005 to 2014 is on that, or a little bit later, is on that Murray State staff. Jody Wright, Adam Ross, Jimmy Ogle, Matt Wannabe, all spent some time in Jacksonville. So that'll be kind of a cool homecoming for those guys from that perspective. But they're just, I think they had a really good signing class, but they're compared to, I think we're leaps and bounds ahead of them. And I think they're going to have another really tough year in the Missouri Valley, certainly playing all the Dakota schools, and you know, just at Indiana State, Illinois State, you know, just another brutal school, brutal schedule. But yeah, no, Southern Miss, this is going to be a completely different Southern Miss team than what we faced last year in Jacksonville. Of course, having to go, like you said, having to go on the road in Hattiesburg, they're liable to, I think they've got a decent start to their schedule. So they, you know, depending on how they start, it's going to be, Hattiesburg's going to be hopping. Going to have half a Marshall on their roster from last year, a really good Marshall team. A really good Marshall team that won the Sun Belt last year. And just, you know, what you think about that coach and, you know, his decision to leave Marshall, and or why Marshall let him go, neither here nor there. You know, he's bringing a lot. He's a Southern Miss now, and he's bringing a lot of talent with him. They're going to be very good. And this is another one. Like I said, it won't be this. This is liable to be a, you know, pretty decent resume builder to try and get a good bowl. You know, with a decent non-conference win. Just, you know, this doesn't, I know the bulk of conference schedule starts next week, the next week, going to, well, 2 weeks after, because we got an off week in between, but we can't start overlooking Southern Miss and looking ahead to that Sam Houston game, because yes, Sam Houston is going to be, I think, even better than last year, depending on their quarterback situation. But this game cannot be overlooked. This is, you know, we got the potential to go, to go 3-1 in non-conference play. And this would be a big, a really good road win, pick up before we did carry some momentum into conference play. But absolutely cannot overlook them. They're going to be talented. They're going to be much more improved than what they were last year.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you don't want to, you know, overlook and I know the coaching staff certainly won't. They'll have a much better understanding of what Southern Miss is and what the fan base is going to see. But there'll be a lot of fans who see, you know, Southern Miss on the schedule as a road game, and all they're going to know is what happened to them last year, and they'll see it as a guaranteed win before conference play starts, and it's not quite that way. So we'll have to put our best foot forward there against the Golden Eagles down at the Rock. And then, like you said, we get into conference play after that. We do get the bye week before we get Sam Houston, which is really good. And Sam Houston in the same boat as us, new coach. So, like I said, they could be a much improved team. They could also be kind of on the same level or take a step backwards, depending on what the coaching staff down there in Huntsville, Texas, is able to do. So that'll be a big part of it also.
Yeah, and you know they're another one kind of like Liberty. They've got our number after the last two meetings with the Bearcats. Certainly after, you know, the way that we beat them at Sam Houston 2 years ago, have the comeback that we did and win in overtime. So they're going to be out for blood. Like I said, I think Sam Houston's just going to keep getting better and better as the years go on. I think they're going to be Liberty and Western. Those are going to be our four. You know, we'll see what Delaware and Missouri State do as it pertains to eligibility for competing for a conference championship over the next year or this year, I guess. Yeah, I think those are going to be the big four. That are going to be in our way of getting back to another conference championship. But yeah, like I said, depending on what they do with their quarterback situation, I think they're going to be much better. I think they're going to be much better. I think it's going to be a tough road win, and you know it's not going to get any easier with Delaware at home next week with less than a week to get ready for them.
Yeah, Delaware is going to be, and if they're not next year, they certainly will be in years to follow, a top 3-4 team in this conference year in and year out. You know, what they've done in the FCS level is really, really good. They are a perennial playoff team. You know, Jack State saw them in, I'm not going to get the year right now, but Jack State saw them in the FCS playoffs and got beat with Zarek Cooper at quarterback. So, they are a well-coached football team, and there should be a lot like Sam Houston and Jack State, who have found success, you know, moving up immediately. I think that Delaware will find success immediately also. You know, I don't necessarily think the same about Missouri State, but I do think that Delaware is going to move up and find success very quickly. But, you know, we'll see how they look the first four or five games that they play. You know, it's still a big step up in competition, less than it used to be, probably. Because you've seen, you know, James Madison and Jack State and Appalachian State, you know, have immediate success. So it can certainly be done, but it's still, still tough to do. But what surprises me so much about, or impresses me, I should say, so much about Delaware is, you know, they had three quarterbacks last year play due to injury, not due to not knowing which one was better. They just couldn't seem to keep one healthy, and they, you know, three quarterbacks combined for 31 touchdowns and only three interceptions. If that doesn't say well coached, I don't know what does. So, you know, Delaware is going to be well coached. They're going to be disciplined. It's going to be probably the second toughest home game of the year behind, you know, after Liberty. if you can look at the schedule. So Delaware is one that, you know, I'm glad we have them at home. I do not want them on the road next year, but I think that's probably what the schedule will work out. But I do think that the conference officials scheduling Delaware and JSU is not an accident. They expect Delaware to be a competitive team immediately, and we see them on the schedule early on.
Yeah, no, I think this is going to be one where, you know, we should still have, because we played them in the FCS playoffs. It was the spring season because of COVID. And yeah, Zarek got hurt, and then Zion Webb got hurt. We had to play Tayshaun Smoot. I'm pretty sure that's who it was. Whoever it was, we were down to our third string quarterback for pretty much the entire second half, and just could not get anything going. You know, if Zarek doesn't get Zarek or Zion doesn't get hurt, then I think, you know, it'll be a completely different game. We still play close with them, I remember, but either way. But there should still be some guys from that 2020 team that are still on this roster. Probably not many. Either way, most fans remember the matchup. Remember, you know, how disappointing it was, because we did have a really good team that year, and just a quarterback injury just killed us. They certainly have a favorable, I'll say not a great, they have a favorable start to their season. They'll go before they come to Jacksonville. They'll go they'll play Delaware State. They'll play Delaware State. Go to Colorado, UConn in Delaware. Go to Florida International off week. Western Kentucky at home, and then come to Jacksonville. So you know, I said that I wouldn't put them past them to beat Colorado. We saw what North Dakota State did. No, Delaware's not as good as North Dakota State, obviously. But I wouldn't put past them to play without Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. I know Caden Salter's probably going to be the starter there, but and there's no guarantee that he's going to be any world beater. So there's a world where they start off 4-1. Depending on what they do against Western, I don't see UConn improving just a ton. I know they went 6-6 last year, or I know they made a bowl game, but I don't see UConn improving just a ton. Neither. Same with Florida International. They have the potential, and we'll get to them here in a minute. We'll see about Western. There's a lot of these, a lot of the big schools from last year, Sam Houston, Liberty, Western. It just kind of depends on, at the end of the day, I think it kind of depends on what they're able to do with the quarterback spot. definitely a favorable start coming into the Jack State game, where, you know, I would imagine we're going to be fairly beat up after the start of the schedule we had. But we'll see.
Absolutely. It's still, you know, surly. It's hard to tell one way or the other, you know, who's going to be really good and who's not going to be good. But you can get an idea, at least early on. Like we said, we think Southern Miss will be a much improved team. We expect Georgia Southern to be a good team. And we think Delaware is going to be a really good team. So, you know, you can see how it goes there. Brooks, remind me, who's next?
Middle Tennessee, the Raiders.
Middle Tennessee. Derek Mason, I believe that'll be on the road this year. So we got him at home last year. So we'll go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee for that matchup. And we'll get Derek Selton's squad. It's got to be a win. I don't like to say that about anybody. It's still football. Anyone can be anybody on any given day. But when we sat down in the schedule video last year, we did it much closer to the season. We'll do the same thing where we actually give a win or a loss and maybe even a score prediction like we've done. But Middle Tennessee needs to be a win. We said the same thing about Eastern Michigan last year. That didn't happen. And I think that hurt us down the line as far as, you know, if Jack State beats Eastern Michigan, Jack State probably goes into that Ohio game ranked in the top 25, or if not close. So Middle Tennessee needs to be a win. That's a team who has not been good in a few years. They've had a track record of being good in the past, and Derek Mason has proven he can win football games in the past at Vanderbilt and that kind of thing. So they could be an improved football team. Kind of have to I'll believe it when I see it kind of thing with Middle Tennessee State at this point, because they have been struggling for a few years. But for me, even on the road in conference play, you start out with two tough conference games in Liberty and Delaware, and Sam Houston, three tough conference games to start. This is kind of the break. This has got to be a win. If you win, you know, a couple, you know, two out of those three against Liberty, Sam Houston, and Delaware, you really got to have the Middle Tennessee State game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this stretch, this four game stretch right here with Middle Tennessee, UTEP, Kennesaw, and FIU, you got to go 4-0 in that stretch. Just, you know, because of, you know, like you said, Sam Houston, Delaware, Georgia Southern, Liberty, these games could go either way. They're going to be 50-50, you know, and hopefully by after the spring, by the start of fall camp, we got a pretty good idea of what our team's going to look like. And even, you know, after the Central Florida game, you know, we at least got a good idea. I still think that Georgia Southern game is going to be when we know the most. But yeah, no, that four game stretch you got to go undefeated. I think, and it begins at Middle Tennessee. Middle Tennessee is one of those programs. I think at this level, they've always got the potential, and I know they've won a conference championship here and there in the early 2000s, but they've got the potential to be a really good program. You know, be a really good football program. Or a group of five program, and you know, with Nashville in the backyard, and you know, Atlanta not too far, you know, they can get some decent, you know, decent athletes. And just they were a team last year that, you know, they had a good offense that just couldn't ever score, and you know, and just couldn't ever got far enough behind, could never catch up. You know, that was certainly the case in our game. That they moved the ball on us, but you know, we got the stops when we needed to, and And responded accordingly. We'll see if there's improvement. I expected him last year to be kind of towards the top of the conference. We'll see. You know, that's going to be one of those games. We'll see. I certainly wouldn't overlook him. We'll just have to see.
Absolutely. We'll kind of figure out what they are as they go. But you know, you kind of said it. These four in a row here with Middle Tennessee State, UTEP, FIU, and Kennesaw, you've got to run the table there to give yourselves a chance to win the conference. And I know that was the goal last year, was to win the conference, and you know, it was, you know, resoundingly successful. I think the goal this year is got to be the same. It's to go win the conference or compete to win the conference. Now there's a, you know, an unprecedented amount of turnover with the staff, with the completely new staff, and you're going to have a completely new roster along with it, but that's the same as everybody else. And Jack State has put more time and money into the program than a lot of these other schools in the conference have. And the goal is always for JSU going to be to win the Conference USA. So to do that this year, like Brooks said, you've got to run the table in those four. You know, we get UTEP after Middle Tennessee State. They were a complete dumpster fire last year. I've not kept up with them in the offseason very much to know if they are going to be much improved or not. I just can't imagine a world that they are go from a 1 or 2 win team to competing for the conference. So you would expect that to be a win also. I don't know if you have any UTEP notes, Brooks, but I guess now's your time.
I'll be honest. I don't have anything on the minors other than they had cool uniforms last year. It'd be nice to see them again this year. But other than that, no, I can't see a world where UTEP improves much.
Yeah. Like you said, great uniforms for UTEP. The orange and blue always looks good, and they will always hold a special place to Jack State as being the first FBS opponent for JSU to play, at least at the FBS level. If everybody remembers Jeremiah Harris's interception to seal that one in 2023. So UTEP will always kind of have that connection to Jack State. And then is it FIU or Kennesaw next, Brooks?
Kennesaw.
So we cancel after that. That should be a home game. We won't have to go back to the lacrosse stadium again until 2026. For those that went to the fireworks show after Kennesaw last year that they put on after we beat them by 50 was really fun for everybody. But we'll get Kennesaw there. Again, similar to UTEP. I can't imagine that they're going to improve that much that quickly. You know, they were first year in FBS last year. They struggled mightily. They got the shocking win over Liberty that I don't know if it kind of took some of the air out of the tires when Jack State beat Liberty, but it wasn't as fun. It would have been much more fun for JSU to give Liberty their first loss of the year, but either way, they had the surprising win over Liberty. They couldn't get another win on the board for the year was up, but I can't imagine that Kennesaw goes from a one win team to competing for the conference in one season. Now they got rid of Coach Bohannon. So they've got a new guy in the doors there, but very similar to that UTEP game. This is a game that you have to win.
Yeah, definitely a must win. And I think regardless of what we look like, I think this is going to be a win. That them and UTEP, this is going to be a cakewalk. And one, it's because, you know, I do mean disrespect to Kennesaw because I hate Kennesaw. But mostly because this is going to be a completely revitalized. This is going to be similar, I think, to what Georgia Tech went through a few years ago when they hired Jeff Collins after all those years with Paul Johnson. Kennesaw State's been running essentially a triple option since its program's inception, and you know Jerry Mack, I would imagine, is going to come in and run a completely different offense. And with guys that are that were recruited to run an option heavy offense, it's going to take a lot of adjustment. It's going to be a multi year adjustment. You know, completely swap over a program. You know, changing a football program or coming into a football program as a new head coach and trying to change the culture and build momentum. It's hard enough as it is, no matter where you go. But one that runs, you know, such a unique offense like Kennesaw, like Kennesaw did, like Georgia Tech, Georgia Southern used to. Georgia Southern was another one. It took some adjustment to get away from the triple option, and they found some pretty good success in the Sun Belt Conference in their brief time. I think they were in CUSA too. Either way. So it's going to be completely different for them. I think even still by then, one, I don't think they're going to have the horses to run with us. And two, I think they're still going to be figuring themselves out at that point in the season. Should be a slaughter.
Yeah, I agree. I do expect, you know, Kennesaw to quickly, you know, the next couple of 2 or 3 years to compete for the conference and be one of the better teams because they're in Atlanta and it's such a hotbed of area for recruiting. You know, we've seen Georgia Tech, like you said, do the same thing that Kennesaw is trying to do now, go from a triple option offense to a more conventional spread or pro style offense. And it's going to take some time to get the athletes and that kind of thing. So this is probably not going to be the year you see the Owls make a lot of improvements, but for that program, this is a big year for them, you know, trying to recruit, you know, different athletes and getting your coaching staff set up for the future. But for Jack, you know, Jack State's purposes, this should be a cakewalk, much like the UTEP game. And then we will finally get to go to Pitt Bowl Stadium. We've been to that stadium before. It was not named Pitt Bowl Stadium at the time, but it is now. So we'll go down to Miami there and play in Pitt Bowl Stadium against FIU. And that's going to be the toughest of these four in a row here that we talked about with you know, these must wins. I think FIU gave Jack State issues last year with Kiwan Jenkins throwing the football. He's still there from what I understand. So I know they've got some coaching changes also, but of the four, this is going to be probably the toughest matchup against a quarterback that we know is good and a team that is going to you know, certainly be I'm not going to say contend for the conference this year, but for me, they're probably number five or six right now as far as behind JSU, Western, and Liberty. They're going to be, you know, close to number five or six in the conference. This is going to be a tough road game.
Yeah, they certainly gave us fits last year. And going to finally getting to go to Pitbull Stadium, it'll certainly be a. I don't know that it'll be a raucous environment necessarily, but it'll be different for sure. And your road games are hard, no matter who you're playing usually. But yeah, they do still have Kenyon Jenkins, and for their sake, I hope that they went into the transfer portal and got him some halfway decent offensive linemen and a couple more receivers, because that guy is talented. He threw all over the field against us, and you know, we got to him a good bit, especially late in the game. But you know, he's a very good runner too. He's certainly a dual threat quarterback. I was expecting him to go into the transfer portal and go to somewhere a little bit bigger this year. And you know, that says a lot about him to stick it out at FIU, and maybe they told him, hey, we are going to, you know, really try and get you some more help, because they've got a really good quarterback, in Jenkins. And if they just keep building around him, you know, he's a junior this year. Yeah. He's a true junior this year. If they can get a couple more years out of him, assuming he doesn't transfer, then, you know, I think they've got the potential to be a decent G5 program G5 program over the next couple of years, but they got to get him some help. Their defense wasn't bad. They certainly got the stops they needed on us and, kept Jack Dawson on the field, a good bit of the day, but you know, it'll be the toughest, in this 4-game stretch. And, it'll certainly keep us on our toes before we come back home and play Western in the home finale or regular season finale the next week.
Yeah, like you said, for certain. And Kenyon Jenkins is a guy who, if you watch the game last year, he was better out of the pocket than he was in the pocket. And Jack State was getting pressure to him, but he would just roll out to his left or right and make good throws. So. He's going to be, I'm not going to say he's the early pick for player of the year in the conference, but he's going to be on the list with what he's able to do last year, especially against JSU. You know, he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the conference, and on the road, that's going to be still a tough game, even though you're not in the most raucous environment. And it's a place that Jack State's won in before. You know, they won with Rick Trott in their first season down there. So, it's a place we're familiar with, but of that four, it'll be the toughest. And then we turn around and get Western after that, who is quickly turning into our biggest conference rival besides Sam Houston. I know that Kennesaw is still, you know, on paper the biggest rivalry, but right now they're not competitive. Right now it is Sam Houston, Liberty, and Western Kentucky. And Western Kentucky is the only school that has, you know, beating Jack State both years out of those two teams, or three teams, I should say. So getting them at home this year is a big help. I know they, you know, beat us when we were down there last year, and then we saw what happened when they do play us at home, and it was a 40-point onslaught. But, you know, Western's still going to, you know, they've lost a lot to the portal like JSU did. You know, they lost a quarterback who was their best player, so they've got a lot to find out and fix. Also, I'm glad getting them later in the year. If you ask me, I would probably rather play them week two than Liberty, just because they're a school that's closer to JSU as far as spending money. They're not going to go out and spend money for, at least not a lot of money for big portal guys. And I think they're going to be a team that's going to be a much better in, you know, week 10 or 11 than they are week two, unlike Liberty, who might be better early on in the year than they are later on in the year. So, I would rather get them week two than Liberty, but that's not the world that we live in. They're going to be obviously the biggest test for us as far as conference play goes. So it's going to be a lot like last year.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, replacing a guy like Caden Veldkamp, it is hard. I think they're going to be able to go out and get somebody decent out of the transfer portal. I'm pretty sure TJ Finley is finally out of eligibility, so. We shouldn't be seeing him on the field again this year. So it'll be a new face for the Hilltoppers. But you know, if they can get somebody, you know, even close to what you know, the production that Veilcamp produced, the production he produced last year. I think they're going to be in a very similar spot to what they were, you know, in that, say, 3-4 horse race. You know, maybe us, maybe Delaware gets in the mix. We'll see about Liberty. They're more likely going to be in the same spot. We'll see about Missouri State. They'll be. Answer my own question. They won't be eligible. Anyways, they'll be very good. And you know, nonetheless, Delaware and Missouri State, they could hand out some losses, you know, and really disrupt that top. Even though they can't play in the conference championship game, they could really affect the outcome as to who plays in it. Depending on how those games go, I think most everybody's going to play one or the other, Delaware or Missouri State. But yeah, no, I expect it'll be interesting. And that's the thing with a lot of these, like I mentioned earlier, with a lot of these schools, Western, even Middle Tennessee, Sam Houston, Liberty, I think a lot of it depends on what kind of quarterback they get, whether it's through recruiting or the transfer portal, what be it. I think, you know, at this level, your quarterback is your offensive identity. Look at Tyler Huff last year, a shining example. We were kind of a option 50-50 throw, run the ball the year before with Smothers and Zion Webb. We were absolutely a run first offense with Huff and Stewart last year. So it's just because that's what he was good at. So a lot of it with these schools depends on the quarterback, and I think Western Kentucky is certainly in the same boat with a lot of us, a lot of these schools, us and the others that were at the top of the leaderboard towards the end of last season.
Yeah, for sure. It's a rebuild, recycle year for a lot of teams in the conference. You know, this has been, as far as turnover goes for all the schools, have had a lot of it, especially, you know, JSU and Sam Houston losing coaches and, you know, Western Kentucky losing just almost everybody that was, you know, productive out of the portal. So it's whoever can do it the best. And that's one thing that you knew you're getting from Rich Rod. He was really good at doing that. And we hope Charles Kelly is going to be the same way. Brooks, how many games do we have left?
That is it. We finally reached the end of the season there.
So all 12 there. Hopefully we'll host again. Hopefully we're in it as, you know, in any kind of entirety, but would love to host it again. That was just all the fun. But it's going to be a tough schedule, much like last year that we saw, and, you know, combined with a new head coach and roster turnover doesn't make it any easier. I think if you're at the end of the year and you're 8-4, 9-3, I think you call that a big time success. If you're getting to play for a conference championship game, I think you call that a really big success. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm all ready for August 28th to get here, and we're still, you know, 6 months away, almost to the day, 6 months away. So I got a long wait, but it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait till April 17th when we kick off the spring game. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how Kelly runs that game. If it's going to be a traditional spring game, four quarter spring game, as long as it's not, you know, pouring down rain like it was last time, and we were already having a hard enough time trying to figure out the scoring system. We know it was a scrimmage. It was a traditionally ran scrimmage, but, you know, trying to figure out the scoring system and, you know, and again, pouring down rain. But that aside, you know, I'm excited to get to see, you know, get to see who gets what the quarterbacks look like, what the DBs look like. You know, maybe we'll see a little bit more of Justice Savage and you know, some of the newcomers from the transfer portal, just to start, you know, really start getting that start getting an idea of what we're going to look like, how well everybody's buying into the new system under Kelly and the coordinators. And, you know, it just start, and more than anything, just because it's football, you know, it, as soon as the season ends, you want it to start right back up the next day. And you know, the spring game is no exception. It's that nice little taste in the spring, to kind of hold you over till the start of fall camp. But it'll be interesting to see where we're at after the start of spring camp. Spring camp. Before we go, one last little bit of news. We mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have renderings of our new indoor practice facility, and it's going to look completely different from what I was originally told it was going to be. I originally heard that it was going to be a lot like what I did know that it was going to go on. It's going to go on Dillon Field, right next to the field house, and where a lot of tailgating happens. But I originally heard it was going to be pretty much the same thing as what UAB has, and that's a turf field with pretty much a big awning over it, and it's going to be a whole facility. It looks really good. I think there might be some nutrition stuff, a nutrition bar, pretty decent size indoor weight room with two stories, top stories ellipticals, and then the bottom is weight racks with windows looking out onto the or garage doors, kind of like what we have at baseball, looking out onto the practice field for easy access, and then a completely indoor turf practice facility. It's not going to be the awning like what UAB has. So I think this looks really good. I think it's, you know, as we continue to grow, we're at the level that we're at, we're certainly keeping up, and we're not only are we keeping up, we're trying to think of the word to say, we're moving up. We're getting the, what?
I said, we're setting the pace.
Yeah. We're staying pace.
When you're
very well.
Yeah, it's about recruiting, and in this conference, what Jack State's doing with the facility, I know we saw the field house last year was super special, but the practice facility that we're working on, and like you said, nutrition bar, weight room, and all that stuff, like, that's really nice to show recruits when they're trying to decide between, you know, JSU, UAB, Western Kentucky, and Harvard or whoever it's going to be. You know, being able to show them a top-notch facility like JSU is going to have is going to be huge, and that's going to pay off, you know, year in and year out for a really, really long time.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know that's the difference when it comes to recruiting, whether it's straight out of high school or the transfer portal, whatever it may be. Everyone's got cool uniforms for the most part, except for Tennessee. That orange is god awful hideous. And some stuff like that. But at the end of the day, where the kids are going to be spending, you know, 90% of the time is, you know, out on the field in the stadium or in the practice facilities and in the locker rooms, you want to make it as nice as you possibly can, and do anything that you can to give that competitive edge in the decision making for a recruit or a transfer. And, you know, this is a $30 million building that we're gonna be putting up. So the, like you said, we're staying pace and at record time. You know, just 3 years going into our third year, in a Group of Five conference. It's amazing work that's being done.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Beyond that, I don't think we have a whole lot left. Big schedule reveal was the biggest news, and obviously we'll have a lot more, you know, schedule information as we, you know, learn more. It's too early in the season to make a lot of predictions and know a lot because there's so much to still left to happen in camp and recruiting cycles and that kind of thing. So we'll keep you guys updated when we know information. But beyond that, we're certainly happy we have a defensive coordinator now, and it was a guy who was not on at least our list or on our radar of someone we might hire. So we're really happy to have Brian Williams, and we're just thrilled with what the university has been able to do with, you know, practice facilities and field houses and that kind of thing. This is going to be a program that should be successful for a long, long time. And it really seems like Greg Seitz and company is building the program with that in mind. So beyond that, we'll thank you for guys. We're an hour and 15 minutes into this now. It's off season. This stuff doesn't matter a whole lot. So if you've made it this far, we appreciate it. And like we always say, go find us on Twitter. We do a lot of interaction with you guys over there, even in the off season. And we'll talk to you guys here in a couple of weeks.
Yep. See y'all.